You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. When Christians Speak Talk Radio is a nonprofit ministry. We are dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus through our programs and special guests. We exist through the generous support of our listeners. If you are being blessed through this ministry and would like to give a love offering, go to our website and click on our donation page. Your donation will be processed through PayPal. Our prayer is that you may prosper, be in good health, even as your soul prospers.
Unto the Lord, for He is good. Yes, He is good.
When Christians Speak Talk Radio is a 501c3 nonprofit ministry, so all of your gifts to this ministry are tax deductible. So go out to our website, www.whenchristianspeak.com, and click on our donation page.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord.
The love of Jesus has changed my life. I've seen His beauty and heard His word. Now I worship at the feet.
Father and our God, we thank You for Your loving kindness. We thank You for Your mercy and for Your grace. We thank You for Your love. We thank You for Your compassion. And we thank You, O God, for Your grace. May the words that are shared on our broadcast tonight be acceptable in Thine sight. May they be the fuel that will provoke those who do not know who You are to cry out for salvation. May people be inspired by the words that come from my mouth, from Your mind, O God. And let everything that we do edify the nations and glorify You. We thank You, O God, for the opportunity to be able to share the ministry and gospel of Jesus Christ. May we do it in the excellency that comes by way of faith. We give You all the glory, we give You all the honor, and we give You all praise. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Welcome to Adoration. I'm your host, Evangelist Mac. And guys, I have missed you. We have been doing a few replays over the past few months, but tonight I just wanted to come again before you with a new message to, you know, start off a new year, because it is so exciting, beloved, to be in this dispensation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to be in this environment, the way the world is set up now, with everyone still having major concerns dealing with COVID-19, major concerns with the recent elections, with all other types of distractions that has overcome this world. I praise God because we have an opportunity as Christians, as believers, to set the standard, a different kind of standard, that is a standard that is not relegated in fear, but it is manifested in love. And so tonight, I just want to mention a few things, and we're going to just get into a lesson that I really want to share with you all that's called The Remnant. And we'll talk about that in a moment. But I just wanted to let you know that my wife, Myra, and I are safe and sound in Guatemala, where we reside for part of the year. And right now, where I know that places in the East Coast, the temperatures are really cold right now, and I believe you guys have had some snow. But here where I am, it is 95 degrees and sunny. So I just wanted to put that out there just to let you guys know that we are in great shape here. I also just want to express my gratitude for When Christians Speak Talk Radio, for the platform that it gives us in order to be able to exchange the Word of God. Whether it's through praise and worship, whether it's through talking about things that happen on the mission field, whether it's about things that are going on in the church, whether it's just things that are going on in humanity. When Christians Speak Talk Radio has given us a dynamic platform in which we can share through the nations, or to the nations, the Lord Jesus Christ in an atmosphere that is acceptable in God's presence, that promotes the best parts of the Christian faith as we explore together what it is that God wants us to obtain and to achieve while we are here in this world physically, and what His desires are for us in eternity. And we have that platform here tonight. And so, not to belabor the hour, I told you that we're going to be talking about the remnant. And, beloved, I pray that everyone who's listening tonight is part of what we call the remnant. And if you don't know what the remnant means, it simply means that within a portion of something, there's another portion within that portion that is separated out for purposes. And those purposes, as we are talking about it tonight, are for holy purposes. You can actually think about it as being sanctified, or sanctification, to be holy, which is to be in this world, but not of this world, to be in this world, but to be portioned out of this world, so that we don't take on the nature of this world, that God has a plan for us that is holy, that is about kingdom building. And that's really what being part of the remnant is about. And I want to tell you what inspired me to even talk about this particular subject. So I am an avid YouTube viewer. I view all types of programs that are on YouTube. A lot of them are dealing in sports because I love sports. A lot of them deal with music, but also things of faith. And it's those things of faith where I have been connected for many years now to a program that is called Discovering the Jewish Jesus. And that program is hosted by Rabbi Schneider. And I have been following Rabbi Schneider for a long, long time. And he is a Messianic Jew. He is a powerful, powerful teacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what I really love about Rabbi Schneider is that not only does he talk about the grace of Jesus Christ, but he also puts it into perspective with the Jewish experience and how the Old Testament and the New Testament unite one with another. Like, many times we tend to separate one from the other, but the way that Rabbi Schneider teaches is that it's all part of a continuous and a continual experience. That, you know, in the Old Testament, Jesus is revealed. In the New Testament, he's experienced and he is worshiped. And the way that he shares these things has been so powerful, as I've always wanted to understand how to connect the old with the new, to really find out that honestly, it's all just a continuation of God's plan. And so I tend now not to really look at old covenant, new covenant, but to just look at it in the present day and what the dispensation of God's word is supposed to be doing now with a body of believers who have the total word in front of them. There are no more excuses for us. Do you not know that the Bible that we read on a daily basis was written by those who were inspired by the Holy Spirit, but did not have the whole message? And so we get to experience everything because we have Genesis through Revelation. And because of that, we have the entirety of Scripture. And that, if nothing else, beloved, should be an empowerment to us that we have the entire Word of God right before us. There's nothing additional that needs to be added. No incredible prophetic message to tack on to what God has already written to us. Now, we might actually get a better understanding of what has been written, but there are no more new revelations. You know, there are just new experiences that come from our understanding of the word as we mature in the gospel. And I just got so excited because Rabbi Schneider did a teaching on this subject tonight that's called the remnant. And if I'm going to be accused of stealing the message, then I guess I'm stealing the message. I just wanted to take some portions of what he shared because they were so incredible to me. And, you know, I just feel like the people of God need to understand who we really are as God sees us, not from our perspective, but from God's perspective. And so if I were to share with you that before the foundation of the world, God already knew everything. He knew everything from the beginning, whatever the beginning means from God's perspective. And he's going to know everything to the end, again, based on his perspective. But God has given us a way to relate to him. So he has given us a perspective of time. And this is really important, beloved, to understand, because our time, our years, our months, our days are not necessarily God's months, days, years. And so when we look at things from God's perspective, how can God, who has no beginning and has no conclusion, how does he talk about beginnings and talk about endings? Well, he talks about it from our or for our benefit, so that we can get a grasp on things that God needs to share with us. So when we go to Genesis chapter 1, for instance, God gives us a beginning because he literally says, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. And so that gives us a perspective from the natural formation of the earth as we know it, so that we can say, okay, from this point, this is where everything begins. And then, of course, into that comes all of creation. But then, if you go into John 1, he gives us another type of beginning, and this beginning comes from a more spiritual perspective, and it comes from a beginning that really lets us know that Jesus Christ is part of the Godhead. And so he says, in the beginning, and he gives us in the beginning, but then he gives us the beginning that was the Word. And we all know that the Word is Jesus, is Christ. And so he gives a perspective that says that as God already and always has been, so is Jesus that, or better yet, let me say Christ, because Christ has always been and always will be. And so we have these two different perspectives of time. And God, who in Jeremiah says that he already knew us even before we were formed in the belly of our mothers. So that talks about the fact that there was foreknowledge of who we were. Even as we were dealing in creation, there was already male and female before they became man and woman. So God has always had a plan for us, which means that if God is truly God, which means that there are no surprises from his perspective, then we have to understand that he knew that that which he created would fall, and that a Savior would be needed, that Jesus would be that Savior, that Jesus would come through the birth channel of Mary and would live on this earth for approximately 33 years and would do incredible things, that he would depart this earth, and then he would begin to prepare heaven, our place in heaven, into this new Jerusalem, into this new experience, and that then, at a certain point, he would return back for the remnant. And you say, what is the remnant? Well, again, that remnant are a select number of people that, honestly, beloved, God has already picked out. I'm saying this for a reason, because no matter what we do as part of the building of the kingdom, human beings cannot save anyone. We are here to do what they did in the book of Acts. Every time you looked in the book of Acts, it just talked about the apostles preaching Jesus. In other words, preaching the gospel, preaching his existence, preaching his ministry. That's all that we are supposed to do. And unfortunately, there are many that call themselves Christians that are doing everything but that. And that has caused a great confusion among society. And we are here at Adoration and at When Christians Speak Talk Radio to diffuse some of those practices, to get people back on the right track, following after Jesus Christ, following the gospel, understanding the teachings that came through Peter, that came through the Apostle Paul, these kind of things that are foundational. These are things that we don't ever have to divide about. So I'm speaking from the perspective of an evangelist who for many years was going out there really honestly thinking that I was really doing something to bring people to Jesus Christ, when scripture, and we'll talk about some scriptures in a moment, where scripture clearly says that it is God who chooses us, not we choosing him. Now, he has already chosen us, but we do make a decision to be accepted into his care. And so, I wanted to just share some things really quickly. I'm not going to be long-winded with this. In fact, I'll probably extend this beyond tonight, just as I'm doing on other platforms in social media. But there are things that are called doctrines of election and the remnant theology. And again, I don't want to get really deep about this, but it's a few points that I want to point out really quickly. So the first point is that God always had a small, sovereignly elected people he has chosen for himself. And so we know that Israel represented the chosen people, but we also understand that God has also decided to graft in non-Jews, those people that we call Gentiles. That would be people like me, people like many of you. Gentiles, non-Jews, are also grafted into this. And so when you start to really read scripture And especially, and I'm going to tell you this right up front, read carefully Romans 11, and I'll probably expand on that in later teachings. But if you read Romans 11, it will tell you that even though God had chosen Israel, that many of the Israelites, they have rejected him. But there is a portion within Israel that is believing in Jesus Christ. And you take that portion along with Gentile believers, and you come up with this peace within a greater peace, this remnant, this portion. And I will also tell you that I'll talk about scriptures that literally talk about the fact that before Jesus comes back for his remnant, he has to get Israel in a state of jealousy that we have the benefits of Jesus Christ and they don't. And there has to be a jealousy that takes place so that even the Jews will come to accept Jesus Christ along with the Gentiles. And then we will see Messiah Jesus Christ coming for his elect. It's a lot of stuff that I'm throwing out here in the beginning, but understand this, that God has already handpicked many of us to be part of his chosen vessel. And we need to live our lives in a manner in which we are expecting to be part of that remnant. So let me continue, because there's some talking points here. One is that God chooses a select few by his grace and by his mercy. God chose you before you were born simply because he loves you. And this is important because it's not based upon any special attributes that we have. He simply loves us, and that love has extended into us being part of the solution for the ills of mankind and not to the detriment of it. And so we get the opportunity, beloved, to experience everything that Christ went through, which means that, yes, we will go through perilous times. Yes, there will be problems. Yes, we will be hated in many cases. Yes, we will be ridiculed for the things that we believe. Yes, we will be misunderstood and accused of being intolerant. But yes, these things have to be because God has a greater plan for us. And so we can't be so single-minded to think that the things that we are experiencing in this world as we know it today are the only things that we will ever experience. That is not the case. The real case is that we are living for an eternity where we won't even be in these earthly vessels any longer, that we will be putting on perfection, that we will be able to look upon God face to face. And beloved, that is the hope of glory that we all have. So we don't put our confidence in anything that this world provides, There is no system of really fair and unfair. It's just chosen and those who are not chosen. And when you start to understand those principles, I guarantee you it will make this earthly experience much more tolerable. So let me continue. So today's culture promotes fairness over God's sovereignty. So the world will tell you, oh, wow, you know, God loves everyone. And so God doesn't mind that we are out of order because God loves us. But we who are of the faith know that that is not true. That is simply not true. God loves and respects those who live in obedience. Remember, obedience is even greater than sacrifice. And so God is looking for those who are living to be obedient. So even if we live and we fall short of His glory, which we will fall short of His glory on a daily basis as human beings, but He looks at the heart, and if that heart is desiring to be obedient, then God loves us for that, and He encourages us even in the struggle. And no one person is created the same. And so that is the beauty, beloved, that we are all unique, fearfully, wonderfully made by His handmanship or craftsmanship. And we are molded into what God wants us to be. And we just have to be willing to go along for the ride. There will be bumpy roads. There will be times that it will seem like He may have even abandoned us, but we know that God never leaves us nor forsakes us. And that, again, beloved, is our hope in glory. And so I want to start with this scripture, and I'm reading from the Eastern Standard Version. And this is coming out of Deuteronomy 7, verse 6. And this is God specifically choosing Israel. So I want to put this in context. It says, "For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for His treasured possession. Out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth." That's what God said for Israel. And what did God get in return? Israel constantly rejecting Him, constantly doubting Him, constantly in need of repenting. And yet, even in that status, there are some out of the nation of Israel that have accepted God through Jesus Christ, which means that they have accepted God's grace and God's mercy and can see that Jesus came to fulfill the scriptures, not to reject them or replace them. Now, for us who are Gentiles, I want to throw another scripture out here. And this really could be for everyone. But listen to this. Out of Ephesians 2, verse 8. This is grace through faith. It says, For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Understanding it is through God's selection and by one's faith that we are saved. Beloved, oh my goodness, just by understanding the verse that I just read to you, it helped me to understand salvation. It helped me to understand that there have been so many people that have been sharing salvation in the wrong manner. Look, let me just put this out here, because the Word of God says this so plainly, that we are simply saved by grace. But that does come through our faith. And God recognizes our faith, and by His grace, we are saved. And it's not anything that we do of our own power, because when we do things by our own power, we would probably boast about it. And so we don't want to ever take any credit for anything, because those of us who really understand salvation in the truest sense, we get down on our knees and say, thank you, God, for choosing me, for allowing me to have the faith to believe in Jesus Christ. And it's only by your grace that I'm alive and that I've been accepted in the Beloved. This is so crucial to understand, beloveds. This is so crucial that we keep telling people to come down for a call of salvation. But salvation is something that is experienced in the heart of mankind. You can't say a prayer and be saved. It is something that people experience on a personal level. And I don't want to tell people's personal experiences, because of course I don't know them. But what I will tell you is that at a certain point, those of us who are accepted in the Beloved have come to know when God pricked their hearts and we saw this thing called Jesus in a whole different light, that we know that we came out of darkness into the marvelous light of Jesus Christ. And we know that that didn't necessarily come when we walked down the aisle on a salvation call or a call to salvation. I'm not saying it hasn't happened, beloved, but I'm saying for many of us, for most of us, we were already convicted in our hearts. God has set us up through so many experiences in our lives to get to a place where we were finally broken before Him. And then when we do acknowledge Jesus in our places of worship, it's just the verification and confirmation of things that we had already accepted in our hearts. And so, from an evangelical perspective, I had to look at everything that I'm doing in a different way, beloveds. And so now, I'm just concerned about sharing the Word of God and letting God, through the Holy Spirit, prick the hearts of His chosen. I don't keep count on how many people have gotten saved. I don't care, beloveds. What I care about is where I stand in my witness for Jesus Christ. Am I living a life in which I'm even worthy to be used by him. And I ask him daily to please use me in spite of my faults. In spite of my weaknesses, I still want to be a vessel for his use. It's all about him, beloveds. It's all about Jesus. It is not about what we're doing. It's not about the churches that we're building. It's not about the sermons that we're preaching. It's about the condition of our hearts and the love that's in our hearts for mankind. And then God will prick those who he has chosen. And we who are those that speak the gospel, we can rejoice when new people come into the family of faith. My God, my God. I just can't tell you how, when I heard Rabbi Schneider talking about all these things, I got so excited. I have been dealing with this subject of remnant in the different platforms that I use for the last month and a half, because it has truly inspired me to look at things a little bit differently. And I'll talk about that in various conversations that we get to have together here on the When Christians Speak Talk Radio Network and through Adoration. But I just kind of want to cap off things and wrap up things for tonight with something that came out of John 17, verse 6. It talks about this. It says, I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of this world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now, if you know anything about Scripture, everything in John 17 is the true Lord's Prayer. It is actually Jesus praying. He's praying for the disciples, and he's praying for the remnant. My God, my God. And what he is saying here, and this is key to understanding everything that I've been talking about tonight. Jesus is the one that's saying, I have manifested your name, the name of God, to the people whom you gave me, whom the Father had given Jesus. So even Jesus were given people by God, okay? So critical to understand this. And then Jesus says, these were your people, and into my presence you have given them to me, and they have kept your word. In other words, those people have kept the word of God. Let me read one other thing. John 10, verse 25b, the B section of verse 25 to 27. Listen to this. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me. But you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Wow, this is incredible, beloved, because this is, again, Jesus talking. He's saying that everything that he does it in his Father's name. And in fact, you can read scripture that talks about I and the Father are one. Just as we should be able to confidently say we are one in Christ. So, again, the works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me. So, Jesus is saying that because I bear everything in the name of his Father, that everything that he does bears witness about who he is. In the same way, the things that we do bear witness that we are followers of Jesus Christ. But listen, he says, but you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. So even for what I'm sharing tonight, beloved, if it's not making sense, you have to then say, well, am I really Jesus's sheep? Am I in the sheepfold? Am I part of the remnant? Because listen, he says, you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. Listen, he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. In other words, Jesus knows them, and they follow me. So as I wrap up for tonight, guys, we don't have to go around pointing fingers at anyone. The things that we do bear witness to who we are and whose we are. Just as Jesus, as he was in this earth, was operating through the provision and through the commands of his Father in heaven and did these things in the name of Yahweh Jehovah, is the same way that we today should be witnessing and sharing in the name of Jesus. By no other name can men be saved. And in no other name can we ever be called the remnant, be called the chosen, and be called children of God. I praise God for the opportunity to share. I'm looking forward to continuing in this conversation, beloved, and I'm looking to spending more time with you. I want to just wrap up this in a word of prayer. Please, please, please support When Christians Speak Talk Radio Network. You can hear Adoration on this network, and you can hear so many other ministries that are part of the When Christians Speak Talk Radio family. We are out here on most of the platforms that do talk radio or internet discussions. So whether it's things like iHeart's radio or, I'm drawing a blank, Spotify, iTunes, all of these platforms, Christian Speak Talk Radio, you can hear us. Other than that, you can always get on Facebook and you can just come to our Facebook page, which is under Adoration Talk Radio. And please, please support us in all the things that we do there. And we promise you that we will continue to labor for the ministry of Jesus Christ and for the edification of mankind worldwide. Now let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for this opportunity to share the Word of God. We thank you, O God, as we dismiss tonight. Lord God, may the words that I've shared be acceptable in thine sight, and may they fall on good soil. May someone tonight who may not even know who you are now come to the understanding of who you are. And let us, as believers, accept them into the household of faith. And let us all continue to press toward the mark for the prize in Jesus Christ and the high calling. And may we be witnesses worldwide to your glorious presence and to your coming and to your love and to your dedication towards us. We praise you and we magnify you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you, and we will see you the next time on Adoration. God bless.